I want to be clear I understand what you're saying, because this is pretty exciting. I think what I hear you saying is you're inviting people in the community to call you if they have an idea for a program or an offering. Yes. Because you want to educate Austinites. That's fantastic.
Yes, please. And people overlook Concordia. They don't think about us.
Yeah.
You know, we're not graduating thousands of students in the way that some of the regional schools are doing. Mm-hmm. But what, because of that, mm-hmm. what we can do is be more invitational, more specific. If you have particular workforce needs in an industry, let us help figure that out. We can together figure out very specific skills and pathways that people need to be able to succeed in a particular industry in Austin.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com. Welcome to Austin Hires Local, your inside access to the work behind workforce development, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. Join us as we dive deep into conversations with trailblazers across the local, state, and national workforce development ecosystem. From elected officials to industry leaders and educators, we uncover candid insights and innovative solutions shaping our workforce landscape. Get ready to explore the intersection of education, economy, and opportunity. This is Austin Hires Local, where the future of our workforce begins.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Austin Hires Local podcast, where we have on-the-record conversation with local, state, national leaders, where we talk about education, workforce development. My name is Tamara Atkinson, and I serve as the CEO here at Workforce Solutions Capital Area. And today, I'm joined by Dr. Christy Kirk, who is the president and CEO of Concordia University, Texas. So, Dr. Kirk, I have done a lot of research on you and Concordia, but as I narrow down the topics, there are three things, if you're game, I'm hoping we'll talk about today. Number one, I'm hoping we'll talk about the changing nature of higher education. I'm really interested in artificial intelligence and how it's changing things. I'd also like to talk about how you develop programming to meet our region, its workforce needs. And then third, I'm really hoping you can talk to us about how you see a Concordia student in this workforce. Like, how would you describe what makes a Concordia student unique?
I love it. Three of my favorite things to talk about. Let's do it.
All right, let's jump right in.
Okay.
All right, Dr. Kirk, at Workforce Solutions, we are all about supporting and connecting people to jobs. And so one of the ways I love to start our podcast is to ask my guests about their first job. So tell me about your first job, please.
I love it. So I might be a little unique in this in that I've only had four jobs my whole life, four W-2s from four organizations, I think. But the first of those was keeping score at a baseball league.
Okay.
So I grew up playing baseball with boys, loved it, still a huge baseball fan, baseball history fan. But when I turned 12, number one, the boys were getting bigger than me. and number two, they offered me money to scorekeep. And I had to choose between continuing to play or the job. And I chose the job. That paid a whopping $5 a game.
Okay.
And I thought that was a ton of money at the time and love it and still use my scorekeeping skills whenever I get a chance.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. So baseball, is that still something that
it's
you...
It's still a thing. I love it. I'm really a baseball historian. So I have taught a class at Concordia called Baseball in American Culture.
Love that.
Fan of the Astros, but really more a fan of the game. So the history and intersection of baseball and culture.
Can you give us one fun fact about baseball that people may not know?
Oh, goodness. I don't know about a fun fact, but
I'm putting you on the spot here.
Love to talk about how baseball mirrors America, and you can study America through the lens of the game in terms of the geographic disbursement of America, the growth of America, the economic, the diversity and integration questions that happened certainly with the Jackie Robinson story, but also with the influx of the Latin American influence in the game and then the export of baseball across the world.
Love that. Does Concordia have a baseball team?
We do, and they're amazing, and we have one of the best baseball fields in town. You should come check it out.
I did not. No, a fun fact.
It's amazing.
See, there's your fun fact about baseball.
There it is.
Thank you
for sharing. Go Tornadoes.
Yeah, go Tornadoes. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
All right, so Concordia University. Tell me how we should think about Concordia as a higher education institution in this institution? Like, how do you see yourself in among all these other great higher education institutions in the region?
Yeah, thanks for that question. I love it. And it's such an important question to know that every institution brings something unique.
Sure.
And for me personally, I don't see myself in competition with any other higher education institution. We are working collaboratively to prepare the next generation of leaders in our communities. And it takes all of us. So if you don't know much about Concordia, we will be 100 years old next year. We're very excited about 100
years. You don't look
a day
over like 30.
I know. But 100 years, founded in 1926, down in Central Austin. We have since moved. 2008, we moved to a new campus, but our roots go deep into right along I-35. And we are deeply proud of the way we have always been an accessible institution, trying to make higher education available to students for whom may not have a chance at other places. I like to tell the story. When we were founded for non-English speaking, first generation students. At that time, those students were German speaking people from rural communities, most of them farm families whose parents did not have higher education. And while our student body has changed, that premise is really deep into who we are as an institution. And so today, we continue to serve a lot of non-native English-speaking people, a lot of first-generation families, and really work hard to make sure our student body represents Austin in all of the ways. And so our students are about just under 50% Pell Grant eligible, so from the lowest ends of the socioeconomic spectrum. About 40% first generation. We serve predominantly non-white students, with about 55% of our student body, Hispanic serving institution. And so in all those ways, we really look and feel and represent Austin and are really deeply proud of that and continue to be creative in the ways that we think about what majors we offer that really help students get from where they are to what their dreams are and what really their vocational calling is.
I love that. So I was sharing with you before we got started, about a year or two ago, I had the honor of walking around your campus and meeting with some officials. And I was surprised at the diversity of the faces, the students, even ages of the students that I met. Is that intentional on your part?
It really is. We really talk about the diversity of our student body in all the things, right? And so certainly there is racial and ethnic diversity, but also socioeconomic diversity, also diversity of major, also diversity of learning style, also diversity of age. You mentioned that one. And we have a lot of students who don't fit that traditional age bracket. We have online programs and graduate programs, non-traditional programs. But even in what you would call our traditional program, meaning the one that meets mostly Monday through Friday on our campus, the age range of that students, we find particularly in our nursing program, they tend to be a little bit weighted to above the 22-year-old norm. These are students who maybe they spent some time at ACC, maybe they spent some time in the workforce, maybe they spent some time doing some other things, in some cases raising their own families, and now they're ready to go back into the workforce, and Concordia provides programs that help them do that. And so our average age is a little above what you would expect at, at a kind of more typical school, and we love that. We really think we represent Austin well and work hard to do so.
I love that you talked about programming that you offer, and you mentioned healthcare. At Workforce Solutions, we spend a lot of time thinking about how we can support the healthcare industry. And I know of Concordia's work a lot through the Central Texas Healthcare Partnership and your work there. So tell me why supporting growing the nursing workforce is so important to Concordia. And what would you want people to know about Concordia's healthcare, particularly your nursing program?
Let me answer that in a couple of ways. I love the question. First of all, I love to tell the nursing story because I believe Concordia has always taken the needs of the industries around us into consideration. And so, again, going back, I've been at Concordia for 30 years. And if you go back longer than that, we've always been willing to try some non-traditional things. So we were one of the first, we were offering classes by video cassettes in the late 80s. And then we also started a cable television.
I don't know that
television.
Everyone knows what a video cassette is.
I know, exactly. Yes. And then we were offering classes in a cable television studio that looked kind of like this one by the time I came in the early 90s. And then that morphed into adult programming with regional centers, and that morphed into online. But always with an eye to what does the community need? What does the workforce need? And nursing was one. Man, when I came as a student early 90s, I don't think we could have seen ourselves as a work, as a nursing institution.
Yeah.
It just was kind of outside the boundaries of what we did. But probably mid-2000s, under then President Tom Seidel, started kind of asking this question of what does Austin need? And it got a resounding, we need nurses.
Wow.
And created a program, and now it's our largest program. By far, it is our largest program. So we offer it in two different delivery modes, our traditional one, which again, typically more you think of that 18 to 22-year-old, but even then it weights a little higher. And then we have an accelerated Bachelor of Science in Nursing that we offer here in Austin, as well as in the DFW area. And so we are graduating a couple hundred nurses a year. I love going into any hospital in the community and seeing our alum and seeing our current students in their purple scrubs. And it's just one example of the way we just kind of put our heads up, looked around and said, what's the community need? And it became very clear that nursing was it.
That's great. So talk to me about numbers. Like how many students do you have enrolled? How many did you graduate last year?
Yeah, so roughly 400 students enrolled across our traditional and non-traditional programs. Again, that includes some ABSN, some pre-nursing students,
sure,
as you think about that.
That's quite a lot of students.
It is. And then so we probably graduate in the neighborhood of 150 nurses a year, somewhere in that range here in the Austin area.
Wow, that's really impactful.
It is.
You know, it's interesting because now when I think of Concordia, I equate it with mm-hmm. your healthcare mm-hmm. program mm-hmm. and everything that you're doing there. And of course, member of our team, Ashley King, mm-hmm. speaks so highly of the program that you've got there. Do you think that Concordia's recognized by the healthcare community?
I do think locally. Yeah. Again, yeah. I'm glad you see that recognition because I'm not sure if you pulled an average Austinite and asked them what we were known for, that's how they would answer. But I do think the healthcare community, and so we're really proud of our partnerships with Ascension and St. David's. They've been good friends along the way and really help us think about what's next and help us keep our eye on what the future needs. So we'll roll out our Doctor of Nursing practice here pretty soon.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yep, and continuing to ask what kind of para-health court, what surrounds the healthcare industry that Austin also needs that we should have our eye on and continue to ask that question about what's next.
That's great. So nursing, healthcare, one of your biggest programs. What you mentioned a few other programs. Tell us about another program you're proud of at Concordia.
I'm going to tell you two more things about the nursing program
that
I love, and then I'll move on.
You get to brag about nursing.
Yes. Sure. One is our NCLEX pass rates are among the best.
And that's hard. The NCLEX is hard.
It is. So we continue to be in the 95% plus pass rates. And again, for us, we're very proud of we do that in a very accessible way. Much of higher education is proud of who they exclude from the process. And Concordia really takes seriously in nursing and in our other programs that is we want to be as wide open in getting students in the door as we can mm-hmm. and then giving them a good enough education that we see success on the other end.
Wow.
Really, no matter where the starting point is. And nursing is a phenomenal example of that across the community. The other thing that I love is several years ago, again, another previous president, Don Christian, was talking to one of the CEOs of one of the hospitals. And the phrase that they said was, Concordia nurses seem more grounded than other nurses. And I think that's a beautiful expression of who our students are because we approach education from a holistic way, considering faith, spirituality, bringing their whole selves to their education. We believe we turn out nurses that, I love that phrase, grounded, right?
They
enter the workforce, certainly highly prepared academically, but also very patient focused, very centered in their humanity as a nurse.
And we're
really proud of that.
That's great. So many reasons to get to brag on your healthcare program and your students by extension. What other programs are you really proud of?
Yeah, so many in both ones that are established and new ones that are coming up. Again, I love programs where we partner with the community to meet a need. Mm-hmm. And so some examples of that is our Aspiring Teachers program out of Leander ISD that we've been doing for years, where we partner with them to say, who are the best and the brightest of your teachers who would want to have both master's and doctoral level education programs? And they nominate, they help us create the program, they help us teach the program, they meaning the leadership at LISD. And then we're about to replicate that program with Pflugerville ISD coming up pretty soon.
Wow.
Hopefully Georgetown following pretty quickly after that. And it's a way to really come alongside the community and say, what programs do you need and how can we help you get there? Another one that we've done.
Can I stop you on that?
Please.
Is the intention that the educators stay in the classroom, or is the intention that the educators then can move into administration, or all of the above?
All of the above.
Okay.
Again, we have different programs, some that are really designed to take you on an educational administration track, and others that are much more designed to, you know, you want to be a great teacher. And so we're going to get some learning technology in there. We're going to get, you know, deep pedagogy and curriculum understanding. And so really the student can choose that. And gratefully, because of the partnership with the ISDs can help shape that a little bit in terms of what are their needs and what are the students' particular passions and interests.
I love that. I am the daughter and granddaughter of public school educators. And my mother, when my brothers and I were growing up, we were teenagers when my mom went back to school to get her master's degree. I saw how it changed her what she was able to bring to the classroom eventually to administration by having access to higher levels of higher education.
Yes, I love it. Yeah.
Kudos to you.
No, That's one of the great programs. Again, long tradition of education in Central Texas.
Nice.
Again, much
educating
like the
educators. Right? Yeah.
Much like the hospitals, you cannot go into public schools in the Central Texas region and not find Concordia educated, master's level Concordia educated.
That's
got
to feel
because
good.
We have graduated. I don't know that number, but it is hundreds of folks in Central Texas from our Masters of Education programs.
Tremendous. Yeah. One other example?
Well, let me talk a little bit about the future and kind of new stuff. Again, one of the things. I think a misconception about higher education is it sort of never changes and they keep offering the same degrees they've always offered.
The Not sage true. From the stage.
Yes. Ivory tower, nothing changes, right? We are just constantly in the midst of revising and creating new programs. And so we have so many coming. I think we have 18 that we're in the middle of either significant revision or creation. And the ones I'm probably most excited about are around STEM-focused programs, AI concentrations in our MBA and in some of our other programs, data science and analysis coming in MBA, as well as computer science. Our engineering program we just created in partnership with the University of North Dakota that allows Austinites, more Austinites, to have access to an engineering program in this very creative way. And so wildlife conservation, drawing on our beautiful nature preserve, just on and on about, again, constantly asking the question, what does the region need and how can we help provide it?
I love that. So you mentioned AI. I've got to ask. I happen to have a college student myself in my family. She talks a lot about how artificial intelligence is pervasive in the classrooms and much to the consternation of both some of the students and faculty where she goes to school. How are you and how is Concordia approaching AI from your student body, among your faculty? What is, aside from the instruction of AI, what is your philosophy about AI and how do you see AI changing higher education?
Oh, it's going to change everything everywhere. But first of all, let me say I'm really deeply proud of our faculty for embracing it. Partly led by our Dean of Teaching and Learning and a handful of key faculty that have just been innovators and not been afraid. And it's probably daily that I walk across campus and someone's having a conversation about how do we use this tool to better prepare our students. We're not going to be afraid of it. We're not going to tell students it doesn't exist. We're not going to stick our heads in the sand and pretend that they're not using it. We are going to use this tool to better serve our students, and we're going to be better teachers because of it. I actually think small schools like Concordia come out the winner in this in terms of being able to assess learning. It's very hard for me if I'm teaching a room full of 200 students to really get a sense of who's using AI and who isn't. At a place like Concordia, we're going to sit across from students and have conversations with them. And so I'm not currently in the classroom. I teach history when I can for fun. But the next time I teach, every paper that a student turns in, I will schedule an appointment with them and say, we will sit across just like this and you will talk to me about your paper.
Wow.
You have to demonstrate to me that you have mastered this material other than just it was written down. And I can do that because I'll be teaching a class of 20 to 25, not 200. And so I can find the time to do that. We will do a lot more of our assessment of learning in terms of one-on-one and speech-based.
Make eye contact.
Yeah. You have to show me you know this. And so, again, not afraid of it. It's a phenomenal tool. I use it every day. Our students use it every day. And we've got to learn to teach with the tool available to us.
Yeah.
Much like we had to when word processing became a thing or spell check became a thing. And just one more opportunity to encourage our students to learn in the ways that make the most sense for today.
It makes a lot of sense to me. When people ask me about AI, I tend to talk about, I see AI augmenting, mm-hmm. not automating
yes.
jobs.
Yes, for sure.
It's interesting, as you were talking, I had a flashback to when I was in college. Do you remember Blue Books?
Oh, sure.
And I wonder if we'll go back to Blue
yes,
Books when, like, pen and paper, that's how you demonstrate knowledge.
No question
think
about
so?
It. We will. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because if you have to write it with your hand without anything else aid around you, it's got to come from your head and
Absolutely.
What you know, right?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
And also, demonstrate knowledge is even an interesting phrase, right?
Mm-hmm.
So constantly asking the question, what knowledge do our students actually have to know?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think about how I've changed when I get to teach history, whereas it used to be about name the dates and times and places
yep.
and people.
Memorize.
And now I don't make them do any of that. I take the time to let's learn the concepts, let's learn the cause and effect, let's learn to synthesize information. And it's not just about reciting that the Emancipation Proclamation was passed in, 1863.
Mm-hmm.
It is, what do you do with that information? And
mm-hmm.
I get to spend a lot more time having the real conceptual conversation instead of just memorizing facts, because I can Google the fact,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually made learning better. It's not something to be afraid of. So what does it mean to demonstrate knowledge, right?
That's an interesting sea change from when I think you
yes.
and I were probably in school to now.
I just gotta know all the things.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com.
I'm also struck by, as you talk about at Concordia, that you or other faculty, because of the small class sizes, you can sit across mm-hmm. a table from someone, make eye contact,
yes.
have a conversation. I've been thinking a lot about bringing the human
mm-hmm.
back to what we do.
Yeah.
And as I was researching Concordia, I see that you all put an emphasis on service learning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and in
mm-hmm.
my mind, I picture that's human beings
yep.
connecting with
mm-hmm,
other human yeah. beings. Can you talk a little bit about the role of service learning
yeah.
in this academic setting that you exist
yeah.
in?
Yeah, so our mission statement talks about developing people from all backgrounds. That's really important in our mission statement. It's right there in front that we serve students of all backgrounds. And we help them to be critical thinkers, compassionate actors, and courageous leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So compassionate action and courageous leadership takes us to constantly asking the question of our students, what needs are there in the community and how do you serve them?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that happens most effectively across all of our classrooms, right, where students are just being constantly confronted with, again, I love the way you said that, humanity, just whole person,
mm-hmm.
what are the needs of the community? And one of the ways that plays out is through our service learning program, which an amazing professor, Dr. Ann Schwartz, out of our sociology program, runs and just gives students the opportunity to identify needs in the community, raise up other leaders to say, how can we get involved in this? And they do everything from raise money for wells in Africa to play games at an assisted living. We've had a partnership with them forever where we engage across the generations with students to getting really involved in justice and equity issues. And again, trying to help our students see themselves as agents of change where there is needs in the community.
Did I see in the note, I think I saw that there was a trip to Alaska.
That's part of our Go Missions program.
Yeah.
We take students all over the world, particularly
yeah.
in the summer. And that comes out of our faith tradition. Those particular programs are very faith mission trip driven. And so they've been all over the world this summer. It's a deep partnership in Alaska where they're bringing students in from these really rural villages that really don't even have access to teachers or preachers or the written word of God in their own language.
Mm-hmm.
And so we come in and run kind of VBS type camps in those. And so that's really the missions focused one, but we also do lots of educational trips across the world. And it's one of the things we balance. For many of our students, traveling overseas is not an experience they've had. Sometimes funding of that can be a challenge, but we try to find creative ways for students to realize, whatever background they come from, that these are opportunities and they really inform their learning if you can get them out and about
Yeah, I can imagine it broadens their perspective on what they're learning when they can see the world. Okay. So I am assuming that Concordia isn't an island unto itself and that you couldn't have been around for nearly 100 years without being well trusted in this community, which to me often means partnerships and collaborations. How important are partnerships to you and Concordia? And as the president and CEO, how is that a part of your agenda?
I love it. I just love the community-focused nature of partnerships. And again, higher education should not be an ivory tower, an island. It should be engaged in the community. And so for us, what that looks like is many of the things we've already talked about around partners with healthcare, partners with the ISD. Certainly have an amazing partnership with ACC. We appreciate them continuing to help their students think about what's next. We continue to think about what partnerships for our students mean in terms of internships, in terms of job placements, in terms of ensuring that our students have clear pathways to get from where they start to what their kind of calling and vocation is. And so many of those. I haven't mentioned our TASBO, which is the Texas Association of School Business Officers, kind of a local or Texas-wide professional association that has been a great partner with us. And so we just continue to look for people in the community who say they want to have an entry point into higher education. Leadership Austin is another great new partnership. We're developing an MBA in conjunction with them, where students who complete the Leadership Austin cohorts can get credit towards our MBA. And then that MBA.
Oh, that's really smart.
It is. And again, it's something they saw that they needed, that their students, their people who complete their program really want to go on to that MBA, and we can step into that. And so continually looking for ways like that that we can say, how can we work together to mutually meet needs? And that's always a fun conversation to have. And we're in the middle of a lot of those conversations right now. So stay tuned.
I love what you're saying. I'm a big fan of what I call unconventional partnerships, unexpected partnerships, putting together groups or people or opportunities that on the surface may not sound like they fit. Like Leadership Austin and MBA program, it's brilliant.
Sure. Yes.
It's brilliant. It's like peanut butter and chocolate. Who knew?
You know,
like
it
they go together.
Well.
But that makes a lot of sense. Is that under your leadership, Dr. Kirk, that you've brought that? Is that something that's part of Concordia's DNA? How do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it is part of our DNA. I think I'm deeply grateful for my previous two predecessors who have mentioned Tom Seidel and Don Christian, who also thought this way. And, you know, it takes a little different nuance with different leadership and different as time goes by. But I think Concordia has always been community driven. And so that's going to naturally lead us to where can we partner together to help the community. Jill Goodman, who currently leads Leadership Austin, is an alumnus of our MBA, so that helps.
So, there we go.
As we get more Concordia graduates out there in their communities, they look to us and say, hey, what can we do together? And that's always a really fun conversation.
Oh, I like that. I really like that. All right, so let's talk about maybe an uncomfortable conversation, and that is just kind of the state of higher education and people's perception. Being in workforce development at Workforce Solutions, we think a lot about efficient paths, setting people up for long-term success in their careers. And I'm on the record of saying, like, I want everyone to reach their highest level possible. I myself have a master's degree and believe in higher education, but I know many of the clients that we serve and sometimes employers we serve have maybe started speaking differently about it. How do you think about the value of an advanced degree in this day and age? And what are you hearing and what would be your response to that?
I love the question. And I actually love the public discourse around this because I think it's a valuable public discourse. If I'm speaking from a place that I get nervous about, it is that we can speak about higher education from a place of privilege, meaning upper middle class, see this as a path. And too often when we talk about, oh, you don't really need a higher education, that might be less served communities. And that makes me uncomfortable. And so I would never want the kind of push towards get a job that makes you a lot of money quickly to not serve communities well, because sometimes higher education is the longer, slower path, and that's okay. And so I worry about it from an equity point of view. I also don't see ourselves in competition. We need all, Austin needs all of the above, right? Mm-hmm. We need people trained in the trades. Mm-hmm. We need people trained in all the way up to MBA or doctoral levels. We need, all of the above isn't going to go away, right? Mm-hmm. I think higher education is deeply needed for some of the soft skills that we continue mm-hmm. to talk about. I can get a certificate in some tech coding, something, and that will help me so far. But in the midst of that, I didn't take the speech class and the humanities class and the other mm-hmm. real human kind of, which is what education has mm-hmm. always tried to do. I think we have to have paths for students that do both, mm. that give them immediate access, but also remind them that that's not the stopping point. We want to continue to make them. You know, Concordia, out of our faith-based tradition, we talk so much about meaningful work, a vocation, our calling, and we want every student to reach that. Mm. And there's room for all of us in the marketplace. And if we see it, again, as a collaborative effort together, rather than we're somehow in competition with the trades or with the Infrastructure Academy or with any of these other things, but instead we're working together to make sure every student has a path to achieve their own meaningful work, mm. that's where the community will thrive the best.
I really love that answer. One of the things at Workforce Solutions I think about a lot, Dr. Kirk, is like everyone's on their own journey. And sometimes what someone needs right now is they need a job right now, but that doesn't mean that getting that bachelor's right. or master's degree isn't in their future, right. but it's where are you now in the journey? What's right for you now? But where do you want to go next? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that it doesn't, there doesn't have to be a terminal degree. Yep. You can yes. keep learning.
Yes.
And as new opportunities present themselves, that's what I love about the higher education ecosystem in Austin. Mm-hmm. There's an opportunity for wherever mm-hmm. you want to go and wherever yes. you want to be.
And it's such a good reminder to people who might be listening to say what you decide to do at 19 or at 21 or at 25 mm-hmm. isn't the answer forever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be, right? Mm-hmm. So yes, if the thing right now is to get that job, support your family, have a more direct path towards income, that's okay. And then when the time comes, don't rule out higher education. I think we've all got to work together to remind people that just because you've been out for 5 years, you still have an opportunity to go back, find the right pathway back in, which can be a little more nerve-wracking
sure,
when you're a little
course.
Bit older and out of the tradition. But again, Concordia works really hard to serve people who might not have seen higher education as their path anyway. So we're very comfortable with those conversations. We just need to help people see us in that way.
I love that. Speaking of people's journeys, I want to talk about you.
Okay.
You. You are the first female president CEO of Concordia. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Tell us a little bit about your journey to get to this point.
Yeah. So I came to Concordia as a student just over 30 years ago. Certainly didn't think this was my journey, would not have said at that point, although pretty quickly I would have said higher education was my thing.
Really?
Certainly, I think before I graduated from undergraduate, I might have answered that question that way. Again, speaking of workforce, I had an amazing opportunity to be hired in the admissions office even before I came to Concordia. That summer, about this time, in the summer of 1992, my admissions counselor called me and said, "Hey, I know you're coming in the fall. We'd like to offer you a job." And I said yes to that, and I'm so grateful that I did. And immediately had the opportunity to begin to see sort of the inside scoop. So year one, I was just a student worker, and I put that in quotes because we don't think we still have a lot of student employees, and they are not just student workers. They are definitely an important part of our workforce. But then really, by the next year, was officially on staff at Concordia. And so really got to see the inner workings of higher ed. So probably would have said, yeah, higher ed's for me. Then got a master's degree at the University of Texas. Thought I was just staying at Concordia while I did that. It was just going to be my gig while I finished my undergraduate and then graduate degree. But by that point, was pretty hooked on higher ed. Went to work for Texas A&M for a few years, so that's the one experience I had leaving Concordia, but have been back for a couple of decades now. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know that I was working towards the presidency, but I continued to love the students we serve, love the mission, love the people I work with, and I keep saying you stick around long enough, and I give you more to do and more to do and more to do, and sooner or later found myself with the appropriate skills and really drive to think about what it would mean to lead the organization. Grateful for people who mentored me along the way, who gave me opportunities, who let me do things I probably didn't have any business doing, and yet I said yes to anyway.
I feel like that was my journey too.
Yes, yeah. It is. So, I mean, I'm so grateful for people that give you those choices, right? And so just really about this time last year, our president was retiring and applied for the position, and we did a national search. But I'm really grateful that the board selected me, and so took office November 1st, 2024, last year. So.
I remember hearing the news and cheering that you got the job.
Yes, it's exciting.
Do you feel like, as a female leader of a higher education institution, do you feel like you have different challenges, or do you feel like the challenges are the same regardless of your gender?
I think all higher ed leaders are facing some challenges today. It's an interesting industry to be in right at this moment. Mm-hmm. But I do think women in these roles can still continue to face unique opportunities to speak into things, perhaps from a more creative way of thinking about it. Mm-hmm. I do think higher education is changing in this way, but I still walk into plenty of rooms that I'm the only female. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's not nearly enough people of color in those rooms too. So I find myself wanting to be a champion and an advocate whenever I can, so that make sure women are at the table, make sure people of color are at the table, particularly as higher education for the student body is so represented by women these days, and leadership does not reflect that yet.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way, but I can see that.
Yeah, Concordia, we're still pretty close to 50-50 in terms of a gender breakdown, a little bit weighted to women. But across higher education, it's probably more like 65-35, somewhere in that range in terms of the student body. And that's a whole different conversation we could have about why that is.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that you're in the position that you're in and that you're leading and representing. We need, personally, I think we need more women in higher levels all across industries.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about what's next for Concordia. You've kind of previously painted a picture of where your programming is evolving into, but what else should we know about where you're going?
Yeah, I would just love to invite your listeners to call us and let's have that conversation. Okay. Let's figure that out. Again, one of the things I love about at a small institution, very nimble, very open to new ideas, love to be in the conversations about what do you need? What does the community need from Concordia? And so I would just say, call us. Let's figure that out together. Whatever industry you're in, if you need a pipeline to the workforce, if you want to help us create the curriculum, that's one of the things when we go into partnerships with people, I can say not only can we help have a pipeline from our graduates to you, but help us create the curriculum.
Wait, what do you need people to know? I
want to
be clear I understand what you're saying, because this is pretty exciting. I think what I hear you saying is you're inviting people in the community to call you if they have an idea for a program or an offering.
Yes.
Because you want to educate Austinites. That's fantastic.
Yes, please. And people overlook Concordia. They don't think about us.
Yeah.
You know, we're not graduating thousands of students in the way that some of the regional schools are doing. Mm-hmm. But what because of that, what we can do is be more invitational, more specific. Mm. Again, the Leadership Austin is a great example of that. It is, if you have particular workforce needs in an industry, let us help figure that out. You can help us create the curriculum. If leaders at that industry are qualified, they can help teach the courses. We can together figure out very specific skills and pathways that people need to be able to succeed in a particular industry in Austin.
I am so appreciative of this conversation today, Dr. Kirk, for so many reasons, not the least of which is I had no idea that you were open to co-creating with our community, workforce programming, degree programming. So thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for joining us on this podcast. It's been a sincere pleasure.
Yeah, for me too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Austin Hires Local, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. To learn more about what you heard today or to see what Workforce Solutions Capital Area can do for you, visit WFSCapitalArea.com. To stay updated on new episodes, subscribe to Austin Hires Local on your podcast app of choice. Until next time.